Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Tune now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer reporting live from St. Louis. The battle of the running mates starts just 3 hours from now, and polls show Republican Sarah Palin heads into this debate with Democrat Joe Biden, as many voters have serious doubts about her readiness for the vice presidency. The latest CBS News poll shows 70% of registered voters see Biden is prepared for the job, while 38% have that view of Palin. John McCain predicts Sarah Palin will be Palin tonight. St. Louis University political expert Joel Goldstein says millions of voters will be watching. Tonight, Palin and Biden unscripted in the 90-minute debate. I'm Peter Mayer, live in St. Louis. Now with more campaign news, here's Cammie McCormick.
John McCain is pulling staff and ads from Democratic-leaning Michigan to concentrate his efforts elsewhere. CBS News political consultant Mark Ambinder.
When you pull out of a big state like Michigan, it means that you're in a defensive crouch. It means that you're worried about how much money you have to spend between now and the election, and you're making choices.
McCain's resources will reportedly be redirected to Ohio, Wisconsin, and Florida. The Dow fell 348 points today, partly over concerns about higher jobless numbers, but also out of uncertainty over that financial bailout package from President Bush today.
Get this bill passed so we can get about the business of restoring confidence.
But will the House even vote on it? Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
This time, leaders of both parties are counting votes a lot more closely. They were surprised that the original bailout bill failed this past Monday. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
We're not going to take a bill to the floor that doesn't have the votes. I'm optimistic that we will take a bill to the floor.
Tomorrow, congressional leaders say, vowing to send a strong message to Wall Street and Main Street. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
There was more evidence of the credit squeeze today. Banks and investment firms borrowed more from the Federal Reserve's emergency lending arm over the last week. And an investment fund that serves 1,000 colleges and other schools partially freezing withdrawals. Part of the mystery has been solved about where billionaire Steve Fawcett's plane crashed. Wreckage has been found in the mountains of California, but no human remains, so the search begins again. CBS News correspondent Terry Okita reports.
50 searchers and 5 canine teams who are in the rugged terrain of the Sierra Nevada mountain range in eastern California, and they are going at arm's length, a 1 mile radius of the crash site, looking for any clues for the remains of Steve Fawcett.
NTSB officials say it appears Fawcett's plane slammed head-on into a mountainside more than a year ago. Broadway theaters in New York will dim their lights tomorrow night in honor of Paul Newman. The legendary film star died of cancer last week. This is CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From October 2nd through the 6th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stain, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
How to show Old Man Winter the door. Step 1. Pick out a new door for 15% off at the Home Depot. Step 2. Get excited. You're about to put a dent in your energy bill. Step 3. Close your beautiful new door. Hear that tighter seal? So does Old Man Winter.
Get 15% off select special order doors and windows and save even more with lower prices on items throughout the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer ends October 15th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Government health officials have rejected a plea by pediatricians and others for an immediate ban on over-the-counter cough and cold medicines for young children, saying there's a lack of scientific evidence that they're harmful. Closing arguments are underway in O.J. Simpson's armed robbery and kidnapping trial. Correspondent Steve Futterman is covering in Las Vegas.
In his closing argument, District Attorney David Roger accused O.J. Simpson of being the mastermind of coming up with the plan to confront two sports memorabilia dealers. Simpson has claimed he was only taking items that belonged to him, but the DA said that doesn't make any difference.
We don't want people going into rooms with guns to take property. That is robbery.
Roger told jurors Simpson is the one who put these crimes together. The jury could get the case by the end of the day. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the county courthouse in Las Vegas.
A judge in Washington has refused to throw out corruption charges against Senator Ted Stevens. He's on trial for allegedly accepting free home renovations and gifts. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505. To qualify for the free webcam, WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Excuse me, Senator, can I offer you a little sweetener with your bailout vote? Senator Martinez, wouldn't you like a little Bacardi to wash it down? It'll ease the pain of all those angry calls from your constituents. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Today we're going to talk about the bailout and about the vice presidential debates. You're welcome to join the conversation at any moment. 888-5-PETER-B. Steely Dan setting us up for the show. The Royal Scam is the tune. And the way they propose that Henry Paulson would be the dictator over the economy, I guess it kind of fits. On our program today, Faz Shakir will join us in just a moment from the Center for American Progress. A little bit later this hour, John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, and I believe he's actually been to Alaska to conduct research into Trooper Gate and Sarah Palin. He'll be with us later this hour. Ray McGovern used to work at the CIA, and he's written an article, a commentary piece, with a message for Joe Biden. And we'll amplify that and deliver it with Ray McGovern about an hour away. Also on today's program, David Abramowitz from the Center for American Progress. They are calling on people to be rational about this and want to explain that minority homeowners aren't responsible for the meltdown in the mortgage markets, and the Community Reinvestment Act, likewise, is not the cause. And in our final hour, lots of room for your phone calls to talk about the Sarah Palin debut tonight. Should be very interesting. Andy Borowitz joked that John McCain's going to hide out in the podium. I guess they don't have that high-tech device that Bush used in the debates, you know, that made the lump on his back and caused some whispered answers to be available to him. So it's going to be fascinating, and I'm looking forward to your comments. And before the end of the show today, Gary Chu, our movie reviewer, will join us. He's seen Bill Maher's new documentary, Religulous, and he'll tell us all about it. Again, my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Faz Shakir is on duty at the Center for American Progress. If you go to thinkprogress.org, their updated site with live blogging, they're going to be blogging the vice presidential debate tonight. Faz, tell us a little bit about your coverage and what it will add if, say, I've got the tube going with Biden and Palin and Gwen Ifill, the moderator. What will I find at thinkprogress.org?
Well, hopefully we're going to be fact-checking everything that's being said. We did this last week during John McCain's first debate and uncovered all, you know, a lot of good misquotes and factual errors by John McCain. In addition, we noted a couple of interesting things about, you know, not wearing the flag pin.
Yeah.
John Barack Obama was, and that he was wearing a goofy tie. And so we'll do some interesting musings in addition to some more substantive commentary. Like last week, I remember we noted the comment by John McCain that Pakistan's a failed state. We were wondering, did anyone else know that Pakistan was a failed state until tonight? So those are the kinds of things we're looking for, just watching their rhetoric closely and then checking on it.
Do you have a body language specialist like Bill O'Reilly does?
No, we don't, but it certainly sounds like something we should invest in with Sarah Palin, huh?
Well, and I'm also thinking of McCain's body language last week.
That was bizarre when he didn't look at Barack Obama the whole night. Yes, very bizarre. And apparently, I'm sure you saw this as well, on the Senate floor yesterday, Senator Obama went over to John McCain and shook his hand, wanted to say hello, and from the press accounts, they said John McCain shook his hand and said, basically, go away, get out of here.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So, yeah, they have some tension there. John McCain has some tension and some issues there.
And John didn't channel Dick Cheney and say, go F yourself?
Well, it sounded like he basically said that in a nicer way.
Uh-huh. Now, Faz, something interesting here. I've been reading a lot about the Senate vote last night, and I know that Senator Kennedy couldn't be there, and the vote was 25 in favor and 74 in favor, 25 against. So that means that Ted Stevens took time off from his criminal trial to visit the Senate.
It's nice of him to make some time to vote for a bailout for Wall Street. You saw the latest update on the trial is that his lawyers have filed for mistrial. And this is in response to some new evidence that has come forth from Bill Allen, the head of VECO, who apparently, you know, the main thrust of the case against Stevens is that he basically got these services from VECO, from Bill Allen, about $250,000 that he didn't pay for, and Bill Allen has said that, you know, he didn't pay for it, he didn't want to, and then according to the defense, they got some new information that says that Bill Allen says that Stevens would have paid and was willing to pay for it, and that new information means that there should be a mistrial.
This sounds really fishy because Allen flipped. He's cooperating with the prosecutors, and he also fingered a number of people in the Alaska legislature that he had bribed. And so his testimony was that he did all this work and that there was a kind of a wink and a nod, that he got a handwritten note from Stevens thanking him for the work on the House with this handwritten addition: "You owe me a bill. Remember Torricelli, my friend." And that's a reference to Senator Torricelli of New Jersey, who left the Senate in disgrace after accepting hefty gifts from people that he didn't report.
Right. And so the issue here is that Bill Allen never billed his political clients. It was all, as you said, a wink, wink, nod, nod. He would do favors for them, never send them a bill, and apparently the politicians would never ask for one. So then the question became, well, if you, Bill Allen, didn't send them a bill, do you think that they would have paid you or not? And Bill Allen has previously been on record saying, no, Ted Stevens wouldn't have paid for it because he understood what this political exchange was all about. I gave him some gifts and he gave me some legislative favors. But then yesterday the prosecutors turned over a different quote that said that Bill Allen said that Ted Stevens would have paid for the bills had he given him a bill. So he basically is taking the fall for Ted Stevens. And, it's a nonsense claim. They're trying to create some headlines to throw the whole case into doubt. But the truth is that Bill Allen is a corrupt character in politics in Alaska, and Ted Stevens has been playing this game with Bill Allen and others for a very long time.
Faz Shakir with us. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. You can get your own copy free by email. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz is also research director at the Center. So now let's move to the bailout. And Faz, one of the fundamental questions I have is, I keep hearing these claims about how there's a total credit freeze in this country.
Yeah.
And that small businesses can't access funding to meet their payrolls, and that, you know, we have a virtual business crash on the horizon. And I've been trying to find hard evidence of this. And I do acknowledge that there are problems in the banking system and that the interbank rate, the loans from one bank to another, has been jacked up. And what I find, even in a careful reading of today's New York Times, Thursday's edition, "Small Business Frozen by Credit Crisis" is the headline. But every story they tell is a situation where, yes, the cost of borrowing has gone up. And in some cases, people have decided not to borrow as much as they did a year ago, for example, to keep their business running. But not one of these stories shows that there have been layoffs or a business shutdown or, you know, even, you know, the cancellation of a construction project because of a lack of funding. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of this because it's one of the arguments that is very emotional and frightening that's being used to promote the passage of the bailout.
I'm with you here, Peter. I mean, I have to tell you that I'm in a different place than my organization, and I largely speak from my personal opinion, but, you know, I've been reading a lot of these stories as well, and my big concern here about this claim is that my argument here is that people have been living beyond their means for a very long time. We've been led to believe that money is free. People have taken out a whole host of debt. Most people are buried in debt beyond their eyeballs, right? It's very hard for. So now the situation has reversed, and people are not willing to lend at the same rate that they were about 2 or 3 years ago. Now, does that mean things are bad? Actually, I don't think that that's bad. If you can't put 20% down for a house right now, if you can't put a good few thousand dollars down for a car, you know, and that means you can't get a loan, then probably you don't deserve that loan. That's right. My view on the situation. So, but if you can put down 20% down on a house right now, I guarantee you, you can get a home because you are a trustworthy creditor, or a creditee, I guess, that you will be able to pay that back and make money for the person who's lending you that money. But if you're not, if you're somebody who's deemed a little bit of a risk, yeah, you'll probably have a harder time now.
Faz, every day this week, I have put out the call. If there is a listener who is qualified for a loan but cannot get a loan funded for a house, a car, or some other major purchase, or a business owner who's encountered the same thing where a bank has either cut their line of credit or denied them, you know, a rollover of it, and not one person has called. I've heard from people who work at banks, who work for lending institutions, including mortgage brokers, and they all say, yes, money is tighter. Yes, people are being turned down, but the people who are being turned down are not fully qualified. And so the next step here, Faz, if the premise of the problem we're trying to address cannot be proven, at least anecdotally, if not, you know, broadly and well documented, then the argument that relieving the people who made bad decisions on Wall Street of their liabilities and saying that that's going to loosen up credit in this country, I think is just bizarre. And
totally
nobody has made that connection for me in terms of commentaries in newspapers or commentaries on television, where we've really established that this up to $700 billion that Congress is willing to authorize will actually cause banks to loosen up the alleged constriction of credit.
The whole political process is bankrupt, Peter. I mean, remember when we led up to the Iraq War, how there became a conventional wisdom amongst the elites and the media that this was a threat, that we just had to act in a small group of people with an agenda, push through a war that nobody else questioned and nobody read the legislation on Capitol Hill. Well, we're doing the same damn thing all over again. We got congressmen who aren't reading the legislation. We're not holding any hearings. We're not questioning the administration's line. We've got the media adopting conventional wisdom, and we've got politicians rushing to pass things and pat themselves on the back and claim that they're doing a great work on behalf of the country. And this is really a bankrupt political process, and I would love for there to be more skepticism and more hearings, more expert testimony, get some people who can craft alternative bills, because that $700 billion could be spent in a whole heck of a lot of better ways. One, we should start with the premise that $700 isn't what is needed here. I mean,
yeah,
you could start with like $100, for instance, and let the next administration decide what to do at that point.
Yeah, Faz, you're right on, and you keep this up, we're going to get you a talk show. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break and return. Do you want to comment? And if there's anybody listening, I will break into any guest, any conversation at any time if you can call and tell me that you deserve credit, but you can't get it because of the freeze that our politicians are describing. You know my number. It's free. 888-5-PETER-B.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ha!
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Protect your investments.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask how many rockets are in outer space. Why is education failing? Ask where are the safeguards in banking, water, energy, health, inflation.
Ask what you can do for your country.
9 p.m. Saturday, The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap.
I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Grab the Daily Progress Report at progressreport.org. And Faz, you got a thing up at Think Progress. It's a video interview from, the Fox News Channel with Joey Lieberman. And he's arguing that the bailout should pass because it'll be good for John McCain. Wasn't he once the Democratic nominee for vice president? Something like that, Faz? Hi, Faz. Do I have you?
Hey, Peter?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're
cut off for some reason. Yeah, I guess we don't put that out of our memory, though. Bad horror, like, from years ago when Joe Lieberman was the vice presidential candidate. But, yeah, he's now shilling completely and wholly for John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of what he was doing today, arguing that, it would be good for John McCain if the financial crisis just went off the front pages of the newspapers and we passed a $700 billion bill and nobody asked any questions, so we can move on to national security where Joe Lieberman and John McCain can fearmonger and try to win an election.
Got some callers for you, but I just want to talk about the sweeteners here for 1 second. They added a bunch of stuff like rolling back the alternative minimum tax, disaster relief, and I have long been in favor of parity for mental health issues as compared to physical health issues in health care coverage and services delivered. But I'm really offended that they think that they can buy votes on this bailout by, adding on these unrelated Christmas tree ornaments.
Right, you got this one huge rotten apple in a bag, and you're trying to put in a couple of decent, nice ones. It doesn't cover the fact that this whole thing stinks, and what the rotten apple does is make the other one rotten. So you put on as many sweeteners as you want, but it just turns the whole thing rotten.
Yeah. All right, Dave and Eureka, you're up first. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air with Peter B. and Faz.
Hey, Peter. Faz, I would like you to ponder with me a thought that I'm having, and that is that this whole bailout event was a fully anticipated, perhaps even a planned event. The timing may be off. They may have wanted it to happen after they put McCain in office, but everything about this administration is shifting great amounts of wealth from the working people and the poor into the pockets of the billionaires. And this is going to be yet another example of exactly that same pattern. So,
it's also the Grover Norquist dream. These two things have dovetailed.
Chet Edwards today, Congressman Chet Edwards, who said exactly what you just said. He said, I wonder if this is Grover Norquist's dream and that this is what he actually wanted to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dave, we're going to find out down the road. It is hard at this point because of the fear storm that has been created. And also, Faz, the other thing that's really maddening is that by offering this bailout, by demanding it from the Congress, they have whetted the appetites at Wall Street and also around the world, where the expectation is that this must be delivered or else.
Right, it's pigs feeding at the trough with this bill. But I think the bigger concern, Chet Edwards was hitting at this, and you are as well, that if you've got a bad bill, you pass it, and it doesn't work, then all you've done is bred more cynicism about government. Mm-hmm. And that, we already see people like Newt Gingrich and Tom DeLay out on TV trying to do that already, saying, oh, if the government gets involved, it's all going to go to hell, and we shouldn't let them touch this. Well, as progressives, we believe that government can do good and must be involved and needs to intervene in certain moments. But you got to do it right. And if you don't do it right, all you end up doing is undermining the larger progressive cause of needed and valuable government intervention.
And, Faz, if the Democrats get snookered again in the House vote that is scheduled for Friday, that's building political miscalculation one on another. And it just shows me over and over again that you cannot compromise with uncompromising radical Republicans. It just doesn't work. But the Democrats are out there again hoping that all these sweeteners are going to flip enough votes, and I think that there are going to be more Democratic defections than there will be Republican rollovers. I may be wrong.
You hope? I worry about the opposite, Peter. I actually worry that there's going to be more Democrats who join the bill
yeah.
with these sweeteners, but that all the Republicans start to peel off.
Mm.
So what you've got
right.
is Republicans saying, hey, this is one big Democratic bailout, and watch what happens in 6 months when it just doesn't work out.
Richard in Fortuna. Go right ahead. Got 30 seconds.
I'm here. Thanks, Peter. Kill me now. I mean, I couldn't believe I will side with the Republicans. This bailout is just unbelievable. Why are we bailing out these people who've made billions? And all of a sudden, I have to cough up what I'm not making and have them walk off the road and say, oh, thank you very much. I mean, dear Lord, I can't believe I'm siding with the Republicans.
Well,
Peter, real quick, every child now born is going to have on their heads a $10,000 debt, and we're just adding to it.
Yeah. Faz, thank you very much. Great to talk to you. Great blogging tonight. We'll be checking it out at thinkprogress.org.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Okay. That's Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. We take a break and return with John Nichols from The Nation. We'll talk more about the bailout and about Sarah Palin.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the makers of naturally derived Emil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure, and by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. A recession, it's been said, is when a lot of other people lose their jobs. A depression is when you lose yours. We've heard a lot about the Great Depression, read about it, seen movies about it, but of course most Americans have no memory of the Great Depression. It happened 3/4 of a century ago, before most of us were born. Now, for the first time, a lot of us are hearing that unless politicians get their act together and stop worrying so much about their own political necks, unless this country is able to mobilize the resources we have, this generation could find out what a depression is like firsthand. Back to what could be the future after this. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But you know there's a wonderful new product called Emil BP that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easier. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Emil BP uses a patented naturally derived ingredient called Emil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Emil BP. Available at CVS and Walgreens, or visit EmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? This doesn't ordinarily happen overnight, although in some people it can develop quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, by all means, see an eye doctor and get it checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is the key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. This housing crisis has hit some parts of the country much worse than others. The unemployment rate in the state of Nevada is at a 23-year high. The number of jobless there jumped 60% in the last year alone. It got so bad in Reno that many Hoovervilles, as they used to call tent cities in the Hoover administration, began to pop up or expand in places like Seattle, Portland, Fresno, Columbus, Ohio, Chattanooga, Tennessee. In Reno, the city put up fencing, brought in security, provides fresh running water. But as Seth Doan of CBS News discovered, it's hard times there right now.
Did you ever imagine you'd wind up living in a place like this?
Oh, no, no. I imagined myself being in a tent for a vacation.
I know God's going to take care of me, but some days it's very scary.
I mean, we worked all our life. We shouldn't be at our age having to sleep in the dirt.
This resume says you have your GED, you're a veteran, you've worked in warehouse operations before with forklifts.
Yes, sir.
But there are just not jobs, or no jobs for you, it sounds.
Not right now.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
John Nichols from The Nation joins me next. We'll talk about the bailout, and we'll talk about the VP debate in St. Louis. He's on the scene.
Wild.
Stop talking about saying because you keep a beating that old dead horse. You know you're not about
great if they had a musical act open for these presidential debates. I would nominate John Fogerty to present that song. John Nichols joins us now. He writes for The Nation. He's a leader of the media reform movement in this country, and he's overdue for his 24th book. How are you, John?
I am just great. It's good to be on with you. I'm talking to you from St. Louis, Missouri, where Sarah Palin is about to be filleted.
You know
the big joke, right? I don't know if you've heard it around it, that that Biden's pondering just going on stage, you know, doing his opening statement. Palin does her opening statement. Then they go to the first question, and, Palin goes, says her stuff, and then Biden just looks at her and goes, oh, Christ, and just takes his microphone off and walks off the stage.
We'll
see if that happens. I think it would actually be one of the greatest moments in American politics.
Well, that would be fascinating. I wouldn't expect that to happen. I would imagine that Joe Biden has been fed some special pharmaceuticals to try to...
No, you know, the truth of the matter is I've talked to a lot of the Democratic aides and, you know, people around him, and there's generally a consensus here that, you know, this is a debate where Biden has everything to lose,
mm-hmm.
and Palin has everything to gain. And so... The dynamic becomes one where Biden's goal is not to do a knockout blow. It is to make it a relatively boring mainstream debate where he looks very solid, where, you know, he basically reinforces everything that he is,
mm-hmm.
and then let Palin just kind of be whatever she is. But he doesn't go for the big smackdown.
Right. Well, I think that is the smart strategy. The issue is, will he gaffe, and that has become a verb, and also he tends to respond, you know, at the spur of the moment and often say things that he almost immediately regrets.
Yeah, he'll gaffe. There's no doubt. It'll be something. But even if he doesn't gaffe in any kind of formal way, it will be said before the debate is done that he has gaffed. Right? Because we live in an age of spin. So somebody will, that claim will be made no matter what.
Well, the Republicans have established the talking point that he is a gaffe machine.
And he's not. The fact of the matter is that Joe Biden probably has fewer gaffes, probably in his whole career he's had fewer gaffes than George Bush has in a week.
You're probably right.
Right? You don't call George Bush a gaffe machine, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the reason they suggest that Joe Biden has a lot of gaffes is because it is presumed that Joe Biden is really smart. And so if he isn't perfect all the time, the assumption is somehow he screwed up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
When you have someone who is not assumed to be very smart, it is expected that they will gaffe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reality of Biden. And you know what the weird thing is? People get that. Ordinary people get that much better than the media does. So at the end of the day, it's very unlikely that Biden will be harmed by this debate. In fact, it's much more likely that at the end of the day, once you've had the debate, had the whole discussion, all the spin, everything done, that Biden's approval ratings go up significantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's going to be interesting because people like me have already decided about Sarah Palin. But I'm thinking about my Republican neighbors, Hank and Gail, who were immediately drawn to her, and it renewed their confidence in the McCain candidacy.
No.
And I think it'll be interesting to see how they respond as she, if her past performance is any indication, will just bluff her way through the answers, fill it up with nonsense and rehearsed talking points. But even, you know, in these very relatively tame exchanges with Katie Couric, the governor of Alaska can't name Supreme Court cases beyond Roe versus Wade and couldn't even come up with major newspapers or publications that she has used to build her own information bank.
Look, the bottom line is that, you know, her reading is the Church Bulletin and Guns and Ammo, right? And she didn't think that would translate all that well. But the truth of the matter is that Sarah Palin will do okay in this debate. She will have been trained to have a good one-liner. She will have some talking points that she reverts back to. frankly, the Couric interview was good for her because of two things. Number one, it lowered expectations with regard to her.
Yeah.
And number two, it, I think, gave her a sense of how dangerous it is to answer questions at length. And she's not going to do that anymore. She will have tight, controlled answers, and that'll be that. In fact, the weird thing is you're going to have two people in this debate told not to talk too much. One of them is going to be Joe Biden, who has a reputation for talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
The other is going to be Sarah Palin, who has recently been told not to talk too much.
Right.
And so, you know, you may have a situation where Gwen Ifill gets through with all of her questions after 45 minutes and is just sitting around waiting for something to do.
We're talking with John Nichols. He's on the scene where the vice presidential debate will take place a couple of hours from now in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, John, just a couple of questions on the DL. I understand that's not the down low. This is the disabled list. I understand that Gwen Ifill broke her ankle the other day as she was burdened with all these debate prep materials. And I got word from a listener that Sarah Palin reportedly fell and injured her hand when she was at John McCain's ranch in Sedona doing the debate mock-ups. Is that true?
Well, I don't know the answer to that exactly, but I know that Ifill will be in a wheelchair. As regards Palin, I've heard that she did hurt her hand in some way, but I don't know whether it's going to be in any kind of, you know, cast or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
If it is, then she and Ifill can compare wounds, which will be fun and interesting, I guess.
Right.
Look, the big thing going into the debate, obviously, is the discussion about Ifill's upcoming book on black politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans are going to make a very, very big deal about that, suggesting that Ifill is biased.
That's right. Now, just one more thing on the injury. I just wanted to start the rumor that Sarah Palin injured her hand as she was trying to remove the stick that's up John McCain's butt.
Oh, nasty. Very nasty. Fine. I'm going to not dignify that comment with a comment.
Okay. You can have better taste than me. That's all right.
Not much.
Uh-huh. So, John, I want to move on now to the discussion of the bailout in Washington, and then in the next segment we'll come back to Sarah Palin and the Alaska stuff. I just wanted to get your sense. Yeah, John?
Peter, I'm going to have to go through a Mac here at the center.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to ask if I can if you can call me back in 1 minute.
Okay, we'll do that. No problem.
I'm totally apologetic, but I've got to go through a magnetometer.
Sure, I understand. He's being checked by the authorities there. Nick, go ahead and watch the clock and call him back in about 2 minutes. We'll give him time to, drop his trousers and do all of the necessary clearances there to participate as a media person and an observer of tonight's debate. And if you have a question for John Nichols, he'll be rejoining us in a moment about the debate, about the bailout, about Governor Palin. You're welcome to join me now, toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And you can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. I welcome your comments and feedback. Coming up a little later, Ray McGovern will join us, the former CIA officer. He's got a message for Joe Biden regarding Biden's vote for the war in Iraq. And we're also going to talk next hour with David Abramowitz from the Center for American Progress about some of the blame game in Washington around the origins of the mortgage meltdown in this country. So that's all ahead today here on the PBC show. When we get John Nichols back, and let's dial him now, Nick. It looks like he's calling us. What I want to ask him about is the sweeteners that have been added and what his sense of the House vote scheduled for Friday looks like. And so we'll get John on right now. John, did you clear security there?
I have passed the Secret Service test once more, always a shock. And I'm with you. I do apologize for that, but you cannot imagine the level of security at these debates. And this one, it's the same security that you have at a national convention,
mm-hmm.
a huge Secret Service presence. And you'll be amused by this, Peter. The highest level of registration ever for media at a debate.
Hmm. Well, there is certainly a lot of interest, and it's possible that the audience for this debate will be bigger than the convention speeches, and there were about 52 million, I think, who watched the Obama-McCain first debate last Friday.
Yeah, I think the audience will be bigger. Yeah. That's my gut.
Yeah. So, John, I want to ask you about the bailout bill, 74 votes in the Senate last night. It moves to the House with these sweeteners. And, you know, I've been a longtime advocate for mental health parity in our health care system and health insurance. And I guess we're going to need it to try to deal with the bailout and the, you know, this whole sense that this is going to fix the problem, which I'm not persuaded of. But tell me... Tell me your thoughts as this goes to the House tomorrow. What's going to move? Are we going to see Democrats attracted to the sweeteners and stepping up to vote? Are we going to see Republicans repelled by the sweeteners and more of them backing away from it? And will this be the Pelosi-Reid-Bush bailout bill?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And I think that the reality is that in both parties, you're probably going to hold your base of votes that you had last Monday. And so really you end up in a situation of trying to peel off roughly 15 or 20 people who had voted against and bring them over. You're going to bring a couple of progressives over with some things like mental health parity and also some minor tinkering on bankruptcy. And you may actually create a situation where George Bush will do something that he hasn't done much in his administration, and that is take some of these retiring members of the House, people who are leaving Congress, mm-hmm. Republicans, that if they vote for the bill, he will give them either major appointments or some sort of benefit that will be worth it to cast that vote.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut is that you're going to see some of the ugliest politics known to man, bribery, you know, lies, cheating, stealing, and that there is a decent chance that they get this thing passed on Friday. I can tell you this, if this very, very bad bill makes it through the weekend without being passed, if the House doesn't vote on it on Friday, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because these members cannot go back to their constituents and hear from them and then vote for this bill. The fact of the matter is the opposition is overwhelming, and, you know, I've been out with members and seen what happens. There's nothing. I've never seen anything, not even the Iraq war, that brought people up to members of Congress with such energy and saw such an unfolding of negative reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they either pass it on Friday or it doesn't pass. My gut instinct is that they will pull it off, mainly because the Democrats and Republicans, while I think they both know this is a bad bill, they're relatively united in wanting this problem to go away.
Well, the worst-case scenario for me, John, is if the bill doesn't pass the House, we have hundreds of marked men and women of both parties who have sucked it up, voted for this. It fails, but they will still earn the enmity of their constituents.
Absolutely. And you know what? They deserve it. That's the bottom line reality. The principled people in both parties, free market conservatives who really do believe in the free market,
yeah,
and progressives who really do believe that any repair for a broken system should begin at the grassroots with working people, working families that are in need, united to vote against this bill. Those were honorable and necessary votes. And I'm very, very proud that my senator in Wisconsin, Russ Feingold, cast a principled vote against this bill along with Bernie Sanders. And frankly, yeah, just about everybody on the Democratic side who usually gets things right voted against this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't emphasize to you, Peter, I've looked at this bill, I've looked at it with economists. It is just bad news.
And there is no real assurance that it will affect the alleged problem, and we don't even have proof that there is a real credit freeze in this country. It's an argument. It's a hypothetical. It's certainly a possibility, but I haven't seen the evidence. John, I got to run to a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. John Nichols is on location at the vice presidential debate scene in Missouri, St. Louis tonight, and we'll take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eats, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Don't you love her badly?
Who, Sarah Palin?
Don't you need her badly?
Oh, not so much.
Don't you love her way?
Oh, I do. Guys and gals.
Don't you say? Don't you love her badly?
We continue with John Nichols. He's live from St. Louis on the scene of the vice presidential debate. It'll be broadcast on television and radio tonight. Check it out if you possibly can. And, John, just before the break, we were talking about some of the bailout issues. And all week long, I have been asking for a listener to come forward who is qualified for credit and hasn't been able to get it. And not one person has called, but lenders, people who work at banks and mortgage institutions have said, well, yeah, it's tightened and it's more expensive, but we don't have a credit freeze. Yet all of the people arguing for the bailout talk about the imminent demise of small businesses that won't be able to meet their payroll next week. And I can't find the evidence.
Peter, if there was a credit freeze, honestly, if it really was happening, this would be like 1929, 1930, 1932. There would be lines in front of the banks because if there really was a credit freeze, everything would grind to a halt. This country lives on credit.
Mm-hmm.
People buy their groceries with credit. You know, it's just a bottom line reality.
Yeah.
And if there really was a credit freeze, you would also see anybody who had missed a credit card payment or even been late in making it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd know when the credit freeze came because we'd all get our credit card bill.
Yeah.
And it would be for the full amount.
Right.
You know, if you had like $7,000 on your credit card,
mm-hmm.
and you were paying $200 a month,
yep.
you'd suddenly get the $7,000.
Right.
This month. That's what credit freeze is. And if that isn't happening, then we don't have a credit freeze. Mm-hmm. That's bottom line reality. So one thing to understand is that there is a great deal of fear-mongering in Washington related to this. But there's also, on the flip of that, there is a sincere concern.
Mm-hmm.
And that sincere concern is actually being undermined by the over-the-top fear-mongering.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that there are smart, functional fixes within the financial services community for what is going on. But those smart, functional fixes do not involve taking $700 billion and running it through the top level of the financial services industry in hopes that it will trickle down to mortgage holders. That's mm-hmm. not how you fix this thing.
Now, John, I'm sorry, I wanted to jump to just one other thing, and I'm running out of time. Yesterday, Obama gave a very powerful speech in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and while I disagree with his choice to vote for the bailout, I thought he was brilliant in packaging his bailout vote as a matter of continuity that won't threaten the haves, with a whole lot of identification of populist economic issues that appeal to working families. How do you think his political maneuvering will work?
I was there. It was a very good speech, and it will work fine. Not because the speech was all that good, although frankly it was pretty well done, but because Barack Obama, as a Democrat and an outsider, cannot appear to be a dangerous player politically. He had to vote for this bailout because mm-hmm. the Washington consensus wanted it. At the same time, he has to keep talking to his constituency. And I thought he walked that line well. But the reason he won't be harmed by his vote is, of course, did McCain cast the same vote? That sort of takes the whole thing off the radar. And secondly, because at the end of the day, if we're heading toward real economic turbulence, the average American, we know this from polling, is more inclined to vote for the Democrat than the Republican
mm-hmm.
because they think the Democrat's going to watch out for them a little better.
Right.
And that speech was a reinforcement of those basic messages.
John Nichols with us, and you can read his daily, almost daily contributions at thenation.com. John, the website is really active. A lot of good material there. Bill Greider's writing about the bailout has been powerful. Many of your other colleagues also making great contributions. I want to turn just to a moment, because you've been writing, I think you went to Alaska, but you've been writing about Sarah Palin, and I really think this Troopergate scandal is certainly taking on momentum.
The Troopergate scandal is best understood as a classic abuse of power scandal that goes to questions that could lead to Sarah Palin's impeachment under the Alaskan Constitution. This was said to me not by some radical Democrat, but by the leading conservative talk radio host in Anchorage, who said, first and foremost, the guy she fired was the most respected lawman in the state, and secondly, that the way she did it was dramatically abusive and outside of the parameters of what a governor can do. And the McCain people know this. That's why they've worked very hard to shut this whole investigation down. But the fact of the matter is it's gotten too far at this point. Mm-hmm. If they shut Troopergate down, if they succeed judicially or legislatively in stopping this Republican-launched investigation, they will ultimately create a situation where I think the scandal will have legs that are longer and that it lasts longer. There's no question. This is a disqualifying scandal.
Yeah. Well, and I believe in one of your posts I read earlier today, you detail a Republican commercial that is attempting to twist the facts on the case and make it seem like just another political vendetta by Democrats.
Yeah, the thing to understand is this: the entire Troopergate scandal at every turn has been the subject of an investigation launched by, supported by, funded by a Republican-controlled, the wholly Republican-controlled legislature.
Mm-hmm.
This investigation would not be going forward if Republicans did not favor it.
John, I'm out of time, but thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
It's a great pleasure, brother. Take care.
John Nichols from The Nation. Read his work at thenation.com.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another day of uncertainty and the Dow drops.
Senate passage of the bailout plan was no magic pill for Wall Street.
The running mates face off this evening.
Palin and Biden live and unscripted. I'm Peter Mayer at the St. Louis debate.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At the closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 348 points to 10,482. The credit market rescue plan is still in doubt, but CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says that's not the only factor.
You can take your pick of bad news on Wall Street. On the job front, we found out that the number of people applying for unemployment benefits jumped last week. It is now near 500,000. We haven't seen it that bad in 7 years. Orders to factories fell to a two-year low, and lending continues to get tighter.
That tightening prompted banks and investment firms to step up their borrowing from the Federal Reserve. Over the past week, they tapped the Fed for an average $192 billion a day. Now that the Senate has passed the bailout bill, President Bush wants the House to act fast.
Get this bill passed so we can get about the business of restoring confidence.
A vote is expected tomorrow.
This is Howard Arenstein. With nearly three-quarters of the Senate supporting it, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is hopeful the bill will pass the House the second time around.
We're not going to take a bill to the floor that doesn't have the votes. I'm optimistic that we will take a bill to the floor.
To make that happen, at least a dozen members like Michigan Republican Pete Hoekstra will have to switch from no to yes.
I was leaning towards voting for it until I started seeing some of these extraneous provisions in it. That's really making me step back and rethink.
He says the bill approved by the Senate is now loaded with billions in pork. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust.
W!
Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Did you know that Geico insures more than cars? No, it's true. They cover tons of other things like hot air balloons, unicycles, and roller skates. Nah, I'm just messing with you. But Geico can help insure lots of other vehicles, though, like motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, personal watercraft, boats, and pogo sticks. I'm only kidding about the pogo sticks, but seriously, just so there's no confusion, Geico now offers insurance on more than just your car.
Geico, saving you money on insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
The showdown in St. Louis between Delaware Senator Joe Biden and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin could turn out to be the most watched event of the campaign. We get a live report from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Right, Bill. It's the only running mate debate. High stakes for both contenders, but especially for Sarah Palin. Recent polls show public doubts about her preparedness to be vice president. CBS News political analyst Mark Ambinder says the pressure is on Palin.
John McCain needs to turn his campaign around. In some ways, the campaign is relying on a stronger-than-expected performance tonight from Governor Palin.
And the Democrats' challenge?
Biden is, in essence, in a no-win situation here. He can't be too mean. He can't be too nice. He can't be too senatorial. He can't be too regular. He essentially just needs to be a steady, smooth ship.
Palin and Biden unedited, unfiltered, less than 2 hours from now. Live in St. Louis, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
John McCain had hoped to be a contender for Michigan's 17 electoral votes, but he's thrown in the towel. Politico's Jonathan Martin broke the story.
When you're taking staff out of a state, taking off your TV ads with a month to go, that's usually pretty indicative that you're giving up on a state.
He says the Republicans' own polls apparently indicate Michigan is going for Obama. Term limits would require New York's popular mayor Mike Bloomberg to step down at the end of next year, but the former Wall Street trader, whose financial information business has made him a billionaire, wants to run again.
Given the events of recent weeks and given the enormous challenges we face, I don't want to walk away from a city I feel I can help lead through these tough times.
He's asking the city council to change the law so he can seek a third term. On Monday, a hiker near Mammoth Lakes, California, found some items that belonged to missing adventurer Steve Fawcett. Now, Madera County Sheriff John Anderson says they found the wreckage of his plane.
The crash looked to be the point so severe that I doubt if someone would have walked away from it.
The National Transportation Safety Board just announced that body parts were found in the debris. They have not yet been identified, but one of the items found on Monday was Fawcett's pilot's license. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From October 2nd through the 6th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
How to show old man winter the door. Step 1. Pick out a new door for 15% off at the Home Depot. Step 2. Get excited. You're about to put a dent in your energy bill. Step 3. Close your beautiful new door. Hear that tighter seal? So does old man winter.
Get 15% off select special order doors and windows and save even more with lower prices on items throughout the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer ends October 15th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
On the PBC show today, kind of an even division between discussion of the vice presidential debate in St. Louis that'll take place about 2 hours from now, and discussion of the bailout bill in Washington. Later this hour, David Abramowitz, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, will talk to us about some of the people being blamed for the Wall Street mess. Ray McGovern will join us, but first I'd like to acknowledge that almost every week at this time for the last 3 years, Scott Dick has joined us. He served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at rank of major, and he helps me understand the Pentagon and the military mindset. And he took the rare opportunity to take the day off today, and there's a reason. He's on birthday maneuvers, and he started drinking at lunch. And he thought that by now, he might be a sheet or two to the wind. Happy birthday, Major Scott Dick. And thanks for everything you do for the Peter B. Collins Show and for our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. Ray McGovern joins us again today. He served in the Central Intelligence Agency for 27 years. He is on the steering group of VIPS, the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He works with Tell the Word, the publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington, D.C. And he's prone to writing open letters to public officials. I kind of enjoy that. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Peter B. How are you?
I'm okay today. And you?
Good, good.
That bailout starting to trickle down your way?
You know, I don't know.
Has the McGovern hedge fund recovered from the roiling of the markets?
I don't have much at risk, Peter B., so I have the luxury of sitting back and sort of trying to learn about what's going on without having much of a stake in it.
Yeah. Well, you took the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah to offer a little public lecture to Joe Biden on his need to confess his sins. Tell us about this.
Well, Peter B., Joe Biden, like I, grew up as a kind of an Irish cradle Catholic, and Joe is often prone to advertising the fact that he's a practicing Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and so am I. And when I learned a little bit more about Rosh Hashanah and how it's really the season of repentance, and it calls upon us to hold ourselves to account, and then when Rabbi Michael Lerner, for whom I have great respect, mm-hmm. sent out a little email saying, this is what you do, folks. You find a private place to go, and you say aloud how you've hurt other people, and then you go to them, and you ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a big explanation, or you don't try to mitigate what you did. You just ask for forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and the sensitivity not to do that stuff anymore. And I said to myself, wow, you know, that's what we were taught as young Catholics.
Well, now, Ray, I can confess that I was raised Catholic. I don't currently practice, but I remember the Baltimore Catechism that they drilled into our heads, and that to receive the sacrament of confession and to be absolved of your sins, you have to confess your sins, make a good act of contrition, and have a firm purpose of amendment.
You got it, right. Boy, it seems so long ago, huh?
Yep.
Now, that's the big thing. You know, a firm purpose of amendment was you're going to try your best. You'll fail, of course, but you'll try your best not to do that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about Joe Biden. I was thinking about the debate. And I was thinking, you know, first off, the overwhelming reality here, of course, is that picking Sarah Palin has to be the most irresponsible decision ever made by a presidential contender. I've been around since Eisenhower picked Nixon, for Pete's sake. And, you know, the mind boggles. I mean, and so I'm thinking, well, you know, Joe, how is this attractive young lady gonna proceed? And I'm sure, you know, when I say I'm sure, nobody else is sure. Nobody else has pointed this out. But Joe Biden was for this war before he was against it.
Yep.
That sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not only for it, he greased his skids in Congress in a most unconscionable way to make it possible for Bush to have his war against Iraq. And so I said, well, you know how's he going to handle that? And then it struck me, you put the moral, religious, and political, practical considerations together, and you suggest to Joe, as I do, look, Joe, before anything gets hot and heavy, what you say is, you know, I really, really feel awful about this godforsaken war. I feel terrible about my role in greasing the skids for it, and I apologize to you, Governor Palin, and all other mothers whose children have been sent away or are going to be sent away to Iraq, the hundreds of thousands of people who have died, to all Americans and all Iraqis, and I ask for your forgiveness.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And again, as Rabbi Lerner says, don't try to mitigate it, don't try to explain everything, just acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness. Now, wow, if Joe started out that way, the first sheet of Palin's talking points, she'd have to throw it in the trash, because my guess is that it's all filled with, yeah, but Joe, you said this before the war in Iraq, and now
mm-hmm.
you're saying this. Why were you for the war before the war, and why are you against it now? And besides that, and this is the most important, it seems to me, given the season, the high Jewish holidays, it's the right thing to do. It's what we're called to do, whether we're Christians or Jews. It's our tradition to confess our sins, to do penance, to try not to do that stuff anymore.
Well, and Ray McGovern, I have to say that during the month of August, when there was all that speculation about who Obama would pick, they kind of set me up by frequently mentioning Evan Bayh, the senator from Indiana, as a possible VP pick by Obama. And he was so gung-ho for the war. He was there with Joe Lieberman promoting the talking points of the White House and the interests of the Bush administration in this misguided unilateral effort. And so when Biden was picked, I kind of, you know, heaved a sigh of relief and said, well, at least he's not Evan Bayh. But that doesn't ameliorate the problem that Biden has, and it's largely been glossed over. And some people might object that, Ray, you're stirring up trouble here right at a time when the Democrats are, you know, moving up in the polls and building momentum, and who wants to go back and revisit the history? But this is really important because I believe that while I support Obama and he's head and shoulders better than McCain, he's ready to embark on a major blunder. And it has to do with Afghanistan and the way he has blithely just talked about putting more troops in there without defining a mission, without acknowledging the, the resistance to occupiers that Afghanistan has exhibited over centuries, and the quagmire that could result if we continue an effort in Afghanistan that doesn't have a defined mission and that attempts to occupy that whole country.
Well, you're absolutely right, Peter B., and there are two recent snippets of evidence that pretty much prove your point. First off, here we have General McKiernan. You know, he's in charge of our whole U.S. troops there in Afghanistan, and he's saying, nothing's going to work here unless you give me four more brigades. Problem with that, Peter B., is we ain't got four more brigades.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't have them until next spring at the earliest when they're withdrawn from Iraq. And, you know, we really should send those kids home to their families, it seems to me.
Yeah.
And then the whole business about being square, not only with the American people, but with our NATO allies. We've dragged them into this godforsaken battle. And most of them knew better. I still don't know how to explain why old Europe can let itself be dragged into this kind of thing. And then McKiernan, you know, no diplomat, he talks about some of these countries, some of these NATO countries, sending warriors here for summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a kind of a dig at some of the European countries that have forbidden their troops to go into the heavily insurgent-filled or national insurrectionist type people who, mm-hmm. who fight hard. So, you know, you don't win any points this way. And, you know, I'll say about Afghanistan what you've just said and what I said about Iraq almost 5 years ago, and that this kind of invasion, counterinsurgency, it's unwinnable. You can't occupy Afghanistan any more than you can occupy Iraq. And when you look at Pakistan right across the border over there, you know, not many people realize that Pakistan is really, really big and really important. How many people in Pakistan? 170 million. Okay? Now, that's where we should be focusing our efforts. And our efforts can't be limited to enrolling them in another godforsaken war against people that are ill-defined, people for the most part who just don't want U.S. occupiers trying to do what the British failed to do, what the Russians failed to do, and now we're trying to do, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, and I don't expect Joe Biden to articulate that tonight or any time before November 4th, but I think it's important for us to discuss this, to make sure that those issues are out there, because the corporate media is just, repeating this without question, without challenge or analysis. And I just think we need to be as careful dealing with Afghanistan as Obama says he wants to be getting out of Iraq. And I give Obama a lot of credit. I think he understands the Pakistan question in particular. I believe in the debate last Friday with McCain, he distinguished himself in that discussion. But, you know, Obama is marketing himself to the establishment and to centrist independents and some Republican voters. And so he's in this Me Too phase of the campaign. And it really gives me concern that he will turn around and act on these campaign promises and just start shipping more troops into Afghanistan without a clear mission, without an exit strategy, and without acknowledging the degree of difficulty in taking on the occupation and day-to-day management of Afghanistan. Ray, I got to take a break. We'll return and talk about this more on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon, this is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report on October 2nd, Thursday. We've got a traffic collision in the Hollister-Gilroy area, no injuries. A vehicle struck a power line at the intersection of County Road 8 and State Road 152. Be on the lookout there. And in Santa Cruz County, on Highway 17, southbound, just at the Mount Hermon Road off-ramp, there's a vehicle on fire. So you want to be careful there, even though traffic apparently is moving at speed. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show to follow this report on AM 540. And I hope you get to catch the debate tonight between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with former CIA analyst Ray McGovern, 27 years serving our nation. And Ray, I know your focus has always been on foreign policy issues, and I certainly respect that. I wanted to inject in the Joe Biden confessional list the war on drugs and the Len Bias-driven law that Joe Biden sponsored and helped pass that imposed the draconian sentences for crack cocaine that were so far different than the sentences for powder cocaine, I think like a 20-to-1 ratio. And it resulted in the incarceration of large numbers of African-American men, and it's part of that whole pattern that has really destroyed the fabric in the African-American community, or contributed to that over the last 20 years. And there was one New York Times article that referenced that, and Biden expressed some personal disappointment at that. But I would like to hear a full-throated apology from the senator, because I think that was one of those issues that was very emotional, and it polled well at the time. And it's one of the worst pieces of legislation I've seen domestically in my lifetime.
For our society, you're exactly right. It's a scandal how many people of color are behind bars these days. And he played that leading role, and it was all politically, as you suggested, politically inspired, because that was the big issue of those days. There are a whole bunch of things that are that, and there's I'd like to hear an apology for Anita Hill. I mean, that was just handled in the most derogatory way, and so the whole bevy of things he might apologize for. As you pointed out, my focus, of course, is always external. That's what we do in intelligence. We don't mess around with domestic politics. And what I'd like to do is really just kind of shoot make a shot across his bow, because, you know, he either should have, well, let's give the charitable interpretation. Maybe he was caught up in this pro-war hysteria, but he knew Scott Ritter. You know Scott Ritter, and
mm-hmm.
I know him.
Yeah.
And he had him before his committee in 98 to explain why we withdrew our inspectors at that time. And he wouldn't let Scott Ritter testify in the summer and fall of 2002. He didn't let anybody testify unless they were spouting the administration's line.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but when Carl Levin did the only sensible thing in those days, and that was at least tack on an amendment to the authorization for use of force, which said, look, you have to go back and get UN Security Council approval before mm-hmm. launching a war.
Yeah.
He voted against that. So these things need to be pointed out now, because there is Afghanistan. There are going to be very difficult decisions, and we can't let them get away with that this time around. And the only way to do that is let some truth hang out and just say, look, we know about this, Joe. You have this kind of stuff to fess up about. Whether you do it tonight or not, less important than that you know we're watching, and that Obama hopefully will have advisors that will take this on board.
Now, here's one other issue that I'd like you to address, and that is that Biden was one of the first and the few in the Senate to talk about partitioning Iraq as a way to, you know, move forward, get American troops out, and stabilize the country. And, in fact, that's what's occurred. We don't have separate states, but we have separate communities that are behind these huge concrete walls and barriers and checkpoints that are a key contributor to the reduction in violence against Americans and the somewhat reduced violence among Iraqis. But it really should be pointed out, and Obama is not so explicit on this as well, that ethnic cleansing is really one of the main drivers of the changes in Iraq in the last year and a half.
That's exactly right. Whether it's ethnic or it's sectarian, however you want to describe it, as you know, Baghdad used to be preponderantly Sunni, and now it's the vast majority of people there are Shia. We're talking about millions of people. And as you also know, there are 4.5 million, so 4.5 million Iraqi refugees now, half of them abroad and half of them displaced internally. So, yeah, you put walls around neighborhoods, you can tamp down violence for a while. Now we have the Sunnis being subsumed, theoretically at least, under the Sunnis being subsumed mm-hmm. under the Shia-led army.
Right.
The whole reason for the surge... the ostensible reason for the surge was to give a breathing space so that they'd get their act together politically. The mm-hmm. real reason for the surge was to give Cheney and Bush enough time to get out of office before all hell breaks loose.
Well said. Ray McGovern, read his piece at consortiumnews.com. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Amazing what a little bad news will do. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. With car sales, manufacturing, and construction all plummeting, the Senate has voted 74-25 for a bailout that's exactly the same as the bailout rejected by the House, except for being even more expensive. Yet the vote counters think this time the House will pass it. Now, normally that wouldn't be surprising. Nothing helps a bill like more goodies. But remember, this is one of those rare bills that was rejected for having too many goodies already. And now, in addition to the original $700 billion, it's got a rum subsidy for Puerto Rico, a deduction for motorsports racetracks, and other bling totaling $150 billion. So, Democrats who voted no on Monday because of 8 years of tax cuts that haven't been paid for are going to vote yes for $150 billion in additional tax cuts that haven't been paid for. And as for Republicans who voted no because the bailout wasn't tough enough on Wall Street, that part is unchanged. No guarantee that Wall Street will reimburse the government. They'd be admitting that the Reagan Revolution is over and that their no vote was a sham. No, they have to stand firm. They have to spin this. Car sales down, manufacturing down, construction down, but on the bright side, tent cities up! And illegal immigrants are heading home. Recession is the best wall you can build, as it turns out. You see, this is what AM Talk Radio has been demanding for years. Fewer hard-to-understand gardeners and unsubsidized free-market housing. And though we may have less money, we'll also need less money. Walmart is opening its Christmas shops early and will sell $10 Barbies, which I hear hold their value better than banks. Now this.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. An extra moisturizer they never even told us about. See, they're humble, too. So if you want eye drops that do the job, and then some, get Clear Eyes. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen intently to you? Looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the mega-ceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the 2nd and 4th Sundays of October from 12 to 3. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 15-minute diagnostic evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
How about that bailout in Washington? Are we taking care of business or what? And who's really to blame for this? The suits or the borrowers?
Trying to look pretty.
working every weekend. Henry Paulson, he's going to get a big overtime check there as the Secretary of the Treasury. To talk about this, we turn to David Abramowitz. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He focuses on housing policy and related federal, state programs and issues. He's an attorney in the law firm of Goulston and Storrs, and he's been working on these issues for about 25 years. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Glad to be here.
Good to talk with you. And one of the things that's been going on this week is a lot of finger-pointing as the jockeying around these bailout bills now sweetened by the Senate and ready for some sort of action as early as Friday by the House of Representatives. But a lot of the talk, I believe, has missed the mark. And I wanted to get your thoughts because a lot of people are blaming the people who took out the loans, the borrowers, and they're blaming the Community Reinvestment Act. And a lot of this, I think, is simply public or political posturing and talking points from the presidential campaign. But what is your take in particular on the role that borrowers played in overextending themselves in taking out 110% loans or no-doc 100% loans for properties and expecting that equities would continue to go up?
Sure. Let's start with it's interesting who's making those charges, who are generally folks who think cutting a smart deal is okay for Bear Stearns, but for someone who's borrowing for a house, that's a bad thing. The background is that from about 2001 on, the regulations were let loose and the market was flooded with cheap, low-cost money that fueled mortgage companies making loans to people on very easy terms. That's true. And so there clearly were borrowers who were taking those loans. But you have to look at what those loans were, how people got in trouble, and what then happened. So people, let's take this Community Reinvestment Act piece of it. In the 1990s, the Community Reinvestment Act has been around since 1977. In the 1990s, after report after report came out saying, you know, moderate-income people, minorities, blacks, Hispanics, were not able to get loans from banks at the same rate as Caucasians were.
We called that redlining.
We called that redlining, and it was highlighted in the 1970s. And the Federal Reserve Bank in Boston and in San Francisco and elsewhere looked at the loans and said, you know, you can't explain what's happening by any other factor other than race. You can't have three times as many minorities being turned down for loans as Caucasians who have the same income, the same credit history, every other factor they went through. So in response to that, there was an effort to get the banks themselves to do more, to make more mortgage loans in the communities where they get their deposits. That actually worked pretty well during the 1990s because banks responded. They made more mortgage loans, but they were what we call prime loans, conforming loans. This was the type of loans, if you or I went out to get a 30-year fixed-rate loan with a down payment and we got some underwriting, these were fixed-rate loans. These were good loans. Comes around 2000, 2001, different regulatory crowd in control. And what happens is there was good business to be had, and it started blossoming in mortgage companies who were going into the neighborhoods that the banks still were not serving fully and saying, here's an easy loan. And people who wanted to buy houses, who wanted to get out of high-cost rental, like in your area and my part of the country up here in the Northeast, stretched to try and get into home mortgages. These were loans that were not regulated and had high-cost, hidden features, springing interest rates. So, yeah, so we find ourselves starting in 2006, 2007 with some of these subprime borrowers, people who took these subprime loans, which didn't fit the regular rules, getting into trouble. That started some foreclosures, downward spiral in prices. It has now spread way beyond subprime borrowers to people who had conventional loans, but their houses dropped 30% in value in the last year or two. So the background is CRA didn't get us into this. The stories about, you know, the speculators and all, yes, there were some, but it's a little bit like the welfare queen stories of people buying lobster with their food stamps that Ronald Reagan used to tell. It makes a good anecdote. Maybe there is somebody somewhere in the country doing it, but by and large, that's not really the problem.
Well, David, it's interesting because in addition to the radio show I host, I produce programs for other people. And for 5 years ending this July, I was producer of a weekly real estate show called Rock, Roll, and Real Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And the show featured various investment opportunities, and we talked about Las Vegas and Phoenix and Florida and all of these booming markets that were just building and selling houses, and the equities were growing at stiff double digits. In Phoenix it was 30% for 2 years in a row. And the program did attract a lot of speculators and investor types.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they took risks based on mainly the strength of their equities in homes in California or other wealth that they had. They went in with their eyes open, and many of those people have been wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I shed no tears for them, and I wished them well at the time. I didn't buy in Phoenix. I didn't buy in
right.
Las Vegas, because I did think that those were bubbles that could not be sustained. And so my view is that the speculators are pretty well washed out of the housing market today, as are the most underqualified borrowers who were able to get loans over the last 3 to 5 years. So I believe we're now dealing with a pool of people who are close to qualified, if not fully qualified, for the loans that they have. They simply were victims of predatory lenders, or were people who made poor choices. But I believe that at this point, instead of the trickle-down, top-down bailout that is working its way through Washington right now, we need to address the concerns of the remaining pool of borrowers. Because I believe if we allow those people to refinance, that we remove the virus that is now rolled over into these complex mortgage-backed securities, and then the swaps and the insurance deals that are built on top of those. And so if we want to try to preserve the house of cards and keep it from totally collapsing, doesn't it make more sense to work at the foundation with the borrowers than at the top of the skyscraper with the executives who designed these programs and certainly knew the risks they were taking?
Well, I largely agree with you, although I do think, as to use your metaphor, there are two main parts to any strong building, and it is a foundation, and it is the upper structures as well, and both of them have to work well. So let's take the foundation part that you talk about. People don't seem to realize that, let's set the basics. We have about 51 million home mortgages in this country.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 million of those, almost 10%, of American families with home mortgages are either in default, late on their payments, or heading into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
It is well beyond some small pocket of irresponsible people. That may have been where it started, but it's well beyond that. And
mm-hmm.
as you pointed out, if I am somebody who a few years ago borrowed on a conventional loan, and then I took out a home equity loan to send my kid to college,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing my best to make my payments, but I've had a setback, and the bank has actually called my home equity loan because they're afraid, because my house has dropped in value, because the guy next door to me got foreclosed on, and the guy down the street got foreclosed on. So the bank has called back 20 grand, and I don't have it. I am now in default. And that's the situation that you're seeing more and more as it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
So the comments that I and others at Center for American Progress have made is there is a point to what they're doing in Congress that has to do with the overall credit markets around the world and how they're reacting to the troubles of the financial parties. But even if you solve that tomorrow with a wave of the wand or a $700 billion credit card, you would still have 5 million and one people facing potential foreclosure. And remember, this is, as you say, this is after well over a million and close to 2 million people have been foreclosed on who were the most at risk, most out there already. So a huge number of homes have been lost. The most vulnerable speculators and people most at risk who never should have, you know, had a loan are probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is bailing them out. What I like to say is, you know, it's as if we're sitting around, and this is really sort of what the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Secretary have been doing for the past year. They're the fire chiefs, and they see there's one home over in one neighborhood that's set on, you know, burning, and then there's another one someplace else that's burning. And their reaction is, well, you know what? Those were probably irresponsible homeowners. Let them put the fire out themselves.
Hmm.
And pretty soon what's happening is the whole neighborhood's on fire because they were sitting back, and now they're coming to you and me and saying, you know, we got to divert the river to stop this. You still have to stop or slow the pace of foreclosures because it's not good for any of us. I'm a homeowner. I pay my mortgage. I'm angry if there are people who are, you know, quote, bailed out. But at the end of the day, I'm a lot worse off if home prices in my neighborhood keep plunging.
Mm-hmm.
With no bottom in sight.
Okay, so I understand all you said.
Yep.
How will this bailout open up credit channels and, you know, allow more prudent lending, more
yep.
lending and prudent lending at the same time? Because I don't see how the money that is being allocated and the powers given to the Treasury Secretary will actually address what they call the credit crisis. I think it's going to address the huge losses on Wall
yep.
Street. And, yes, it may add liquidity to the banks, but I do not see how it's going to actually promote the kind of lending that they're telling us is being constricted right now.
Well, there are a lot of things to be critical of in the bailout package. And certainly the first thing that came forward was a three-page basically handout for a blank check up to $700 billion with no accountability, where the Treasury Secretary said, give me the money to spend and I'll figure out how to spend it.
I'd call it a blackmail letter.
Another way to look at it. Okay. What's happened now and what Congress has done in negotiating it under enormous pressure, because they are being told, believe it or not, and you can doubt it, that you know, the international and domestic credit markets are freezing up and that's going to have a quick impact. If the funds that he's able to access are directed at buying the mortgages themselves and getting control of the mortgages that are now in the hands of the groups that package them up into big pools,
mm-hmm.
where he actually can then say to the services, the people that you and I send our check to each month,
mm-hmm.
are the services. Because, you know, as a lot of people realize, the image that I borrowed my loan from a bank and there's somebody to walk down the street and talk to is no longer true. So there's
right.
a whole chain of people. But if he buys smart at the level of the mortgage pool so that he controls and can direct and give instructions to the servicers, he can be doing what the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has been doing when it's taken over a couple of banks lately, which is directing the people who are in contact with borrowers to do workouts, to modify loans, to keep people in their homes on payment plans, and, you know, if we're smart, when the house recovers, to take a piece of the shared upside equity as repayment back to the Treasury. Those powers are in there. Whether he will do that or not, or his successor
mm-hmm.
in a short time, is really an open question.
Well, and I'm dubious partly because I watched carefully the bailout of the savings and loans in the 1980s.
Yes.
And there was no upside for the taxpayers who bailed them out. And it was basically a situation where they flipped the assets to insiders in the same industry. And there's no policy or other details in the bailout bill that require the secretary or his successor to operate solely in the interest of the taxpayers.
And well, it is amazing that we in the 80s and again in the 2000s, we started the decade with a lot of chest thumping about the need for deregulation, and we're ending it with a public
bailout.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll return with David Abramowitz, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. We'll go to the phones next. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B for Bailout Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report in the 4 o'clock hour on October 2nd. Starting in Monterey County on Highway 101 northbound, just south of Highway 156, we've got an animal on the road. It's actually a deer grazing on the right-hand side. Moving north to Hollister-Gilroy, sticking with Highway 101, this time southbound at Monterey Road, there's a collision, a gray BMW tangling with a silver Honda. They're on the right side of the road there. And in Hollister-Gilroy, also County Road 8, just north of State Road 152, we've got a vehicle that struck a power line. There are some lines down. Finally, in Santa Cruz, Highway 17 southbound at the Mount Hermon Road off-ramp, there's a bus on fire. Apparently, it is not affecting traffic, but you certainly want to be aware of that problem. We return to the Peter B. Collins Show on AM 540 right after this.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, several media outlets have reported Republicans claiming that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's floor speech changed some GOP votes on the bailout bill. Here's House Minority Leader John Boehner.
The Speaker had to give a partisan voice that poisoned our conference, caused a number of members that we thought we could get to go south.
But what many failed to note, including the Today Show, Politico, the Boston Globe, and the Philadelphia Inquirer, is that several Republicans have denied this. For example, here's Republican Representative John Shadegg on MSNBC.
So they went out and made a stupid claim, but I don't know a single person who changed their vote on the basis of that or would have.
And now for today's most outrageous commentary. Once again, here's Michael Savage discussing an adult entertainment event in San Francisco.
We're way past the Weimar Republic. They had, in the midst of all of this, a Folsom Street fair where naked men cavorted with whips and chains yesterday. I only pray that there's no Hitler in the wings.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the bailout working its way through Washington. The House is expected to vote on it on Friday again. And it's been sweetened. Is this another case of lipstick on a pig? Dare I say so? And during the commercial breaks, I usually check my email, and right at the top of the list here is a spam email from Platinum Plus. Your $7,500 line of credit has been approved. And right below it, Credit Report America. It says the average credit score is 682 and invites me to see if mine is bigger. That's like one of those penis enlargement ads I get all the time. David Abramowitz is with us, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Your turn to talk with him. We go to the phones. John in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, is this Bailout Collins?
Yes, it is.
Hi, golly. I've got two comments and a question, and I just may rattle off my comments and hang up and let you deal with my question. How about that?
Well, we'll just see how it trickles down. Go ahead, John.
Oh, that was number three. But
okay.
Liberal and conservative. This isn't a linear thing with one on the left and one on the right. It's circular. And we're seeing this now in Congress where people of principle, whether I agree with them or not, are hanging tough to their principles, and they're coinciding with other people of principle, the people that vote no, and that's what I'm talking about. I think that's rather fascinating.
It is, yeah.
And I believe this bailout proposal is the last gasp effort to help trickle-down economics seem to work. But it's just going to give the robber barons, or actually they're robbers now, they're not even barons, more money. And my question to you, this seems to me to be a centralization of power falling in line with what Naomi Wolf has proposed as the coup that took over, well, started to take over in 2000 and is fulfilling its prophecy here, and we've got to take back this country. So I've kind of laid out a lot of stuff.
Well, let's see what David wants to comment on. David?
Okay. Sure. I think there is there's a danger in too much power, centralized too much, which is really one of the hearts of the first critiques of what the Treasury Secretary proposed. But I want to actually maybe come at what you're saying a little bit different way and direct an idea that people are unhappy that we've come to this situation where there actually is even a need to be talking about a bailout of this magnitude, of public debt of this magnitude, and need to go back over how we got here, prevent getting here again, and I think that's where the liberal and conservative circle you talk about breaks down. The conservative end of the wing says deregulate the economy even more, and points out to all kinds of things that, that we were talking about, Phil, that they say did this. It was the CRA. It was letting in illegal immigrants. I've seen that argument done, that this was all illegal immigrants.
And David, if I can interject also, they talked about reducing the capital gains tax as a way of addressing this. Now, that suggests that Wall Street is sitting on huge gains.
Right.
Or they're expecting that. And that gives me great pause. Here, they're pointing at losses, saying, bail me out, and they want a capital gains tax that would only benefit them if there's an upside.
It was either a non sequitur or a forecast of things to come. So one of the points I think needs to be made, especially in the presidential debate, is when we talk about taxing those in the highest incomes at a bracket that is really what we had in place before September 11th. It's a lot of people, even who are nowhere close to that, react as, well, there they go, they want to raise taxes. I think if you think of it, if the people who were making the, you know, $10 million bonuses by peddling subprime loans all through the 2000s had actually been paying their fair share of taxes,
yeah,
we'd actually have the money now to pay to clean up the mess.
Well, and if we could recapture just the bonuses they paid out last year, we'd have a down payment on it. Let's go to Richard in Fortuna. A quick one, Richard. Go ahead.
I am here, and please, dear God. Anyway, the bailout is, I'm sorry, I can't even think.
Really?
Just a tool for the Republicans. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that was it. I think this does speak to the need for the mental health parity that's included as a sweetener in the bailout.
I think people are pretty stressed about it, and that comes out.
Yeah. David, I got about 30 seconds. What final comment would you like to leave us with?
Well, there is a danger. You know, we're going to hear calls immediately after it's passed that we now can't spend anything on domestic programs. We've got to tighten our belts and go back to it. And I think we've hinted at, A, we need to restore a fair share of tax payments, because we have an even deeper hole that we're in than just paying for two wars and all the deficit spending that's been going on. And second of all, now is not the time to back away from investing in the real economy, like infrastructure, like energy conversion, and those things which actually will last and create jobs. And
David Abramowitz, thank you very much for joining us from the Center for American Progress.
My pleasure.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Mike.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The vice presidential candidates face off an hour from now at Washington University in St. Louis. It's their only formal encounter of the campaign, and the outcome could be crucial to the men at the top of the ticket. CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer says Sarah Palin has to reassure voters that she has a basic grasp of the important issues.
Her popularity and her ability to be ready, most voters say, it's shrinking in their minds. So she's just got to show that she knows what she's talking about.
And what about Joe Biden, who's sometimes accused of talking too much?
I think the main thing Joe Biden needs to do is just not come off as some sort of blabbermouth who is condescending, who acts like he's some know-it-all.
The 90-minute debate will be moderated by Gwen Ifill of PBS. The McCain campaign confirms it's conceding Michigan to Barack Obama, pulling its ads and redeploying staff. Jonathan Martin is a Politico reporter.
A lot of time and attention and money have been devoted to Michigan, but apparently in recent weeks, Republicans have been seeing poll numbers from that state that indicate it could be out of reach.
The market dropped 348 points today. Analyst Hugh Johnson says it reflects uncertainty in the market.
There's still a lot of concern that the House will not pass the bailout bill, which essentially signals that the federal government is not going to help us in this credit crisis.
The House is expected to vote tomorrow. White House spokesman Tony Fratto says President Bush has been working the phones for passage.
All told, between yesterday and today, he probably will have called somewhere in the order of three dozen House members. The calls have been, from his view, positive and productive.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she won't bring the bill to the floor unless she knows it has the votes. The wreckage of Steve Fawcett's plane has been found in the rugged Sierra Nevada near Mammoth Lakes, California.
We know that there was a post-impact fire.
Mark Rosinger of the National Transportation Safety Board says a small amount of human remains were found in the wreck. The millionaire adventurer disappeared 13 months ago after taking off from a ranch in Nevada. In February, Fawcett was declared legally dead. What's a parent to do going into the cold and flu season? CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes says there is no clear guidance from the Food and Drug Administration on the use of over-the-counter medicines for kids.
The FDA started looking into this last year, and the first thing it did was pressure the makers of children's cold and cough medicines to recall their products for children 2 and under. Now the FDA is looking into whether the products should be given to children 6 and under. It's going to take some time. They say they'd like to see more studies, so they likely won't make a decision one way or the other until early next year.
Big dip for the price of oil today, down $4.50 to $93.97 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From October 2nd through the 6th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey guys, head into the men's store inside JCPenney and get great deals on men's Haggar clothes, because it's Haggar Week at JCPenney. That means you can save 50% off the new collection of Haggar shirts, sweaters, and pants. Plus, save 50% off all Haggar suit separates, a perfect addition to your fall wardrobe. We're making things right with Haggar Week, Right here at the men's store, the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
How sweet it is. We're talking about breakfast cereal here. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has the story.
Can't get enough of that Sugar Crisp.
They used to call it Sugar Crisp. Now it's Post Golden Crisp, but there's still plenty of sugar, more than 50% sugar by weight, according to a new Consumer Reports analysis. Same for Kellogg's Honey Smacks, and nine other brands are close.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios, Kix, and Life came out on the more healthful end of the survey. Regular Cheerios has 3 grams of fiber for every gram of sugar. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
It could have been dicey when the captain of a ferry operating along North Carolina's Outer Banks had a fatal heart attack at the wheel, but one of the passengers happened to be a Mississippi Riverboat pilot. 35-year-old Jason Bosley heard what was going on, rushed to the pilot house, and took the helm. He held the boat steady against the current and 35-mile-per-hour wind until a real ferry captain from another vessel was able to jump aboard. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W. Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Did you know that Geico insures more than cars? It's true, they cover tons of other things like hot air balloons, unicycles and roller skates. Nah, I'm just messing with you. But Geico can help insure lots of other vehicles though, like motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, personal watercraft, boats and pogo sticks. Nah, I'm only kidding about the pogo sticks, but seriously, just so there's no confusion, Geico now offers insurance on more than just your car.
Geico, saving you money on insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Call in now about the bailout or about the VP debates coming up less than an hour.
Presidential elections. Our planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes.
And Sarah Palin's going to try to distract us even more.
Just when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song.
My lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. What do you expect out of the Biden-Palin encounter? What questions would you like to ask Biden or Palin? And do you expect any sparks or any other surprises? I'd like to hear your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We have our official Sarah Palin campaign song from Roy Zimmerman.
John McCain chose a running mate. He chose the most qualified, cause he looked at his short list and said, she's the least tall. If I'd had to predict which one he'd have picked, she's the one. Sarah Palin comparison. She's been 20 long months as Alaska's governor, 9 of those months with a bun in the oven. Her publicist said she was tested and ready to run. Sarah Palin comparison.
That's Roy Zimmerman channeling Bob Zimmerman, a.k.a. Dylan.
It's a beautiful day. Okay. Condoleezza Rice, who's saying thank you so much, and sincerely I know Hillary's so full of admiration.
So is Bill.
She's a vicious attack dog, and Miss Congeniality doesn't know what the VP does, but that's a technicality. Glad to be in the race, just to visit new places like Washington. Sarah Palin comparison.
Check out Roy Zimmerman at royzimmerman.com, and also he's got oodles of videos up. Just do a Roy Zimmerman search at youtube.com, and you can see some of his latest performances. 888-573-8372. I've got two apologies to issue right now. Some people will hear today's broadcast on Saturday or after midnight on Thursday, and we're talking about the debate before it occurs. And so you will already have heard what happened. And I'm sorry about that. But there's only so much I can do about the scheduling of our broadcasts and servicing our live audience and giving those who listen later on podcasts or rebroadcasts an opportunity to hear our show. So I do invite your calls. The switchboard is wide open. And if you're listening live here on Thursday, call me. You can talk about the bailout. You can talk about Ted Stevens and his problems in court. And we also invite your comments on the vice presidential debate, which will begin less than an hour from now here on Thursday evening. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. The other thing apparently I need to apologize for is a couple of hours back, I was talking to John Nichols, and a listener had called in and said that Sarah Palin injured her hand at John McCain's ranch in Sedona, Arizona, where she was in what they call murder boards or mock debates. And I asked John Nichols if he could help me propel the rumor that she injured her hand trying to get that stick out of John McCain's butt. I thought it was funny, but I know Daniel in Santa Cruz was very upset by it. So, Daniel, for you and anybody else who is offended, you have my humble apology.
Excuse me.
Now, let's turn to the independent senator from Connecticut, because Joe Lieberman has some advice here about the bailout and about Sarah Palin.
Behind now because of the economy, and I hope the House adopts this bill tomorrow. It'll be good for our country, but frankly, it'll be good for John McCain too, because it'll get people back to comparing the two candidates, free of a sense of crisis that may make them want to turn against the Republicans.
Ah, Joe, whose side are you on, Joe? That's right, you're on McCain's side. And apparently there was a comment in there about Palin that he has confidence in her. Didn't make the edited soundbite that I have here. But my sense is that Joe Lieberman ought to sit down and be quiet. I don't think he's helping himself. I don't think he's really helping John McCain. Because the Republicans, who were wobbly about the McCain candidacy, are not going to take Joe Lieberman's word for anything. And the Democrats who used to admire and support Joe Lieberman hear this kind of stuff and just say, well, how will we ever be able to believe in or trust Joe Lieberman again? I mean, he is a shill for his friend McCain, and it's really just disgusting to hear him offer these comments on the Fox News channel, where he is flacking, essentially, for McCain. Here's another clip. John McCain is working the ref. There's only one moderator in tonight's vice presidential debate. It's Gwen Ifill from Public Television's NewsHour. And I did not know this until the right-wing blogs brought it out over the last couple of days, but she's got a book contract and has a book that'll be published on Inauguration Day that is about the presidential campaign and race. The book's title is The Breakthrough, Politics and Race in the Age of Obama. So John McCain went on television today
Guess where? The Fox News Channel. And offered a comment like this.
So I have to ask you this, because there's been a lot of debate, speaking of the debate, in the last 24 hours about the moderator, Gwen Ifill, and the fact that she's releasing this book on Inauguration Day that is a lot about Barack Obama. I know you've gone on record yesterday as saying that you don't really have a problem with this, that you think she'll be fair. But do you actually think it could work to your advantage, because people will really be looking closely at her questions?
Listen, frankly, I wish that they had picked a moderator that isn't writing a book favorable to Barack Obama. I mean, let's face it. And but I have to have confidence that Gwen Ifill will treat this in a professional, as a professional journalist as she is. Frankly, I would imagine that there's other people out there who aren't writing a book that's going to be on Inauguration Day favorable to Senator Obama. But that's life. Look, life isn't fair. I mentioned earlier in our program.
Oh, life isn't fair. 888-5 Peter B. Let me know what's on your mind. Any comment, any viewpoint, you know how it works. Call the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B. Kip in Eureka, welcome to the program today. You're listening on KGOE.
Hey, Peter. My brother down in Jeff was listening to you down in Carmel. Anyway, I got a story on Henry Kravis. He sells off whole chunks of captured corporations, then he fires thousands of workers, slashes the wages and benefits of those who remain in pocket savings for himself. Now, he makes about $51,400 per hour, and he netted it last year in 2006 about $450 million. The movies are coming out. It's titled The War on Greed, starring the Homes of Henry Kravis. This is from Jim Hightower's, he's got a column in our local paper.
Uh-huh.
Henry hates the movie, but I'll bet you'll like it. Check it out at www.warongreed.org. It's for the rich and cranky only, you know.
So it's War and Greed?
No, War on, W-O-R, on greed.org.
Okay, waronGreed.org.
.org, right.
Okay. And okay. Henry Kravitz is the leverage buyout artist who is with Kravis, Kohlberg, and Roberts, and they've done a lot of these leverage buyouts where they take over companies, lay off a lot of workers, trim them down, take them private, then take them public, and pocket huge profits.
And he says he flaunts his piracy with luxurious homes and rear jets, etc. So he's one of the rich and cranky, as Jim Hightower calls him.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Thanks for that tip, Kip. And your brother listens in Carmel?
Yeah, Jeff.
Jeff, all right. Well, a shout out to Jeff today.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the Free Speech Zone this hour. 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. Palin, Biden, facing off less than an hour from now. Let me know your thoughts about that. And the latest on the bailout. The House is expected to vote on it Friday. I appreciate your comments. 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We take requests here, sometimes for bumper music. Bob from Pacific Grove wanted to hear Gnarls Barkley. This one's called Charity Case. We also take requests on topics and guests.
What matters to you at this moment?
And I want to thank listener Dell in Waterford, Maine.
How are you?
Who I guess catches podcasts or listens to the live stream online. Dell sent me an email saying that Dell had caught a guy named George Farah on television, and George's website is opendebates.org. He's also the author of No Debate, and he has some interesting background on the presidential and vice presidential debates that we're seeing during this political season. George, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And say hello to Dell in Maine. You got a fan.
Thank you, Dell. Thanks for affording me and recommending me.
Well, I'm interested in, a quick sketch of the history here, because I'm old enough to remember when the debates were run by the League of Women Voters, and they were often very stodgy. And we've seen a big change, partly because of the rise of cable news and the way the companies that own the news media have shifted from broadcast stations, where they were bound by some pretty explicit rules from the FCC, over to cable, where they can invite whoever they want and exclude people if they want, ask some candidates more questions than others. And so things have really shifted, and I think people are aware that the debates don't appear to be as fair and neutral as they once were, George. Tell us a little bit about how it used to work and how things evolved under the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Sure. Well, our organization actually thinks the League of Women Voters did an excellent job hosting these forums, as stodgy as they may have been. But compared to today's debates, they were hallmarks of democracy.
Yeah.
The League of Women Voters was a genuinely nonpartisan sponsor. That is, it had no ties to any particular political party. It had no money invested in any particular corporation or stock market. And so when it hosted debates, it fought on behalf of the public interest to ensure that the debates genuinely served voters' interests and maximized voter education. And we have many examples of that. Back in 1980, John B. Anderson, a former Republican candidate, ran as an independent for the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, President Carter adamantly refused to debate John Anderson because he was worried that Anderson would take away some of his votes. Well, the League was put in a difficult position. Would it capitulate to the demands of the President of the United States, or would it fight for an independent candidate? The League said to the President, "I'm sorry, we're going with the independent candidate," and they invited Anderson to a debate that was watched by more than 40 million Americans, even though President Carter stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
If you fast forward 4 years later, the League of Women Voters adamantly criticized the Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan campaigns when they vetoed over 70 moderators that were proposed by the League. The Reagan and Mondale campaigns were trying to ensure that there were no difficult questions asked during the debates.
Hmm.
The League had none of it, held a press conference, chastised the candidates for abusing the process, and as a result forced the candidates to accept a challenging moderators. As a result of the League doing this, Peter, as a result of the League standing up on behalf of the public interest, championing the public interest, and challenging the parties had enough. And in 1986, the Republican National Committee and Democratic National Committees actually ratified an agreement to, quote, take over the presidential debates. And they set up this thing called the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is a front group for the Democratic Republican parties.
Mm-hmm.
And every 4 years, this commission allows the nominees for the parties to dictate the terms of the presidential debates.
Yeah. And it has made a significant difference. We did see Ross Perot included in 1992. But I know a lot of people who'd like to see both Ralph Nader and Bob Barr included in this year's round of presidential debates. Now, I've also managed debates on the local level. I coordinated some debates for Senate races here in California back in 1992. And one of the problems we ran into
was that there were over a dozen people running for the two Senate seats, that it was rare that they were both open at the same time. And so we did have to make decisions. We had to establish criteria about who got invited and who didn't. And while we made it as open as possible, there were still people who were excluded and who were unhappy about it. So how do we balance the competing interests that, while I appreciate what Bob Barr and Ralph Nader can bring to the debate, they don't have a shot at winning any states, and therefore they can't pick up electoral college votes, and it in some ways does make more sense to focus on the two major party candidates as long as that's the structure that we have.
I absolutely respect that argument and am absolutely aware these presidential debates need to provide as much information as possible to the American people of the candidates that have the greatest likelihood of winning the presidency of the United States. But two counterarguments. First, the commission likes to tell the American people that there are hundreds of candidates that are running for president of the United States. Hundreds of them, including Lobster Man of the Crustacean Liberation Party and Billy Joe Clegg of the Clegg Won't Pull Your Leg Party. And that's why we've got to have these very exclusive presidential debates between the two candidates. But that is a hogwash argument. There are only a total, including Obama and McCain, six candidates this year running for president of the United States that are even on more than one state ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you had the most open presidential debate conceivable, there would only be six candidates. But that's not the criteria we advocate. We respect the point of view you're adopting, which is, hey, we don't want to waste our time watching, say, a nominee of a third party that not a single person is going to vote for. Instead, our criteria says that any candidate that's on enough state ballots to have a chance at winning, and is supported by a majority of Americans in the country to participate in the presidential debate should be included.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if the vast majority of Americans want to see someone, what right does a private corporation financed by Anheuser-Busch and other corporations have the right to exclude that particular candidate? And this year, there's only one third-party candidate, actually, that's met that criteria, and that's Bob Barr.
Yeah.
4 years ago, there was only one, and it was Ralph Nader. And 4 years before that, there was only one, and now it's Ross Perot. So,
and on your website, you cite a poll that a majority of Americans want Bob Barr included in the debates.
Exactly. And it's really hard to argue against that. There's a kind of a complicit arrogance about that, which is to say that how can two parties say the American people aren't mature enough, sophisticated enough, or intelligent enough to decide between competing candidates for the President of the United States, which ones to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, when I wrote my book on the presidential debates, I was startled, truly startled, at how many Republican Democratic operatives were simply saying, you know what, George, the American people are a little bit too stupid to handle this much democracy. We need to narrow their choices for them.
George, it's great to talk with you. Your book is No Debate. The website, opendebates.org. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up next, more of your phone calls. Tell me what you think. Should Bob Barr be included in the next presidential debate? 888-5-PETER-B. I'd like to hear your thoughts. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum taking your calls. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report in the 4 o'clock hour on October 2nd. Starting in Monterey County on Highway 101 northbound, just south of Highway 156, we've got an animal on the road. It's actually a deer grazing on the right-hand side. Moving north to Hollister-Gilroy, sticking with Highway 101, this time southbound at Monterey Road, there's a collision, a gray BMW tangling with a silver Honda. They're on the right side of the road there. And in Hollister-Gilroy, also County Road 8, just north of State Road 152, we've got a vehicle that struck a power line. There are some lines down. Finally, in Santa Cruz, Highway 17 southbound at the Mount Hermon Road off-ramp, there's a bus on fire. Apparently, it is not affecting traffic, but you certainly want to be aware of that problem. We return to the Peter B. Collins Show on AM 540 right after this.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So what do you say? Should we be opening up the debates to minor party candidates, including Ralph Nader and Bob Barr? My lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
This one's for Sarah.
Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you do it?
Smiling faces. Smiling faces sometimes, they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh, yeah.
I can dig it. Free speech. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8373. A lot of people already hunkered down, I guess, and got a drink in their hands for the entertaining. I mean, is this a debate, or is it like something sanctioned by the WWF? And if you want to comment on any other issue, you may. 888-5-PETER-B. Before the end of the hour, Gary Chu, our movie reviewer, has a review of Bill Maher's new documentary, Bill's an Atheist, and the film is called Religulous. We'll pray on that, and Gary will give us some details coming up before the end of the hour. Next, we go to Donna in Big Sur. Hello, Donna. You're on the air on the PBC show.
Well, hey, hi. Hey, Peter. I'm just wondering about some of the stuff that's going on as far as what the heck is going on with... you know, Sarah Palin and McCain and all that, you know, it's like, it seems to me like there's almost like this coup thing happening.
How do you define that? What kind of a coup?
Well, it seems to me that there is no truth in what they say.
Yeah.
And there's no truth in what they say, and they just keep going over and over the same old points over and over again.
Those points have been carefully researched at great expense by their campaign.
Oh.
That is what people want to hear. And oh. they have their gear shift in P for pander.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're there, you know, like I said, it's all been focus grouped, and they've got surveys out there to find out what people will respond to, what the hot buttons are that get them to, you know, reflexively think, oh, I'm going to vote for McCain. And what you're going to hear if you can sit through 90 minutes of Sarah Palin in the debate on Thursday night is a series of rehearsed sound bites based on the same research. And so ask yourself, every time she responds, did she attempt to answer the question in any way, shape, or form?
Okay.
Or did she simply take the cue to start talking and fill up time until enough time had passed? I think the history in Alaska shows that in the debates that she participated in when she ran for governor, she rarely took up the allotted time that was available. She would have a couple of quick answers and then just sit there and fold her hands. And the answers were prepared enough and connected enough with the voters that got her elected. I think that she's going to be under much more scrutiny by viewers and critics in her performance here on Thursday night.
Well,
and I think that people will note, well, she did fill up the time, she ran out the clock, but her answer was actually gibberish.
My God. Well, we can only hold, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, on the screen it says a couple of your friends have power outages.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Well, that's the other thing we're wondering about. There's power outages in up in the Eureka, Ferndale area. There's power outages down here. I mean, and it's all going on when the debate's going to be going on.
Well, that's a benefit.
I'm spiritual, but I don't know what to say.
Uh-huh. Well, I wasn't aware of that. You know, we do have a weather system moving in. It's muggy out, and the rain is supposed to start tonight or tomorrow, our first Pacific storm of the season. But certainly no trees have fallen, and no power should be out as a result of weather or nature that I know of.
I have numerous calls from people up north and from down south, and they're saying we can't get any electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just thought I'd put it out there.
All right. Well, let's see. You know, one of the things is when you ask people, hey, is your power out, a lot of times they can't call because their phones now require electricity.
Right.
And they can't hear me because their radio isn't on or their computer doesn't work. But if anybody has more information on power outages within the sound of my voice, I'd like to hear about it. Donna,
let's hope for the best.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call tonight. I appreciate that. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week about this time, we like to check out the news that's on the web, but somehow never makes it into the mainstream corporate media. R.J. Shulman is the reporter, publisher, chief cook, and bottle washer over there at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. That's PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. That's right, PTSD, one, .blogspot.com puts you in touch with the reporting of R.J. Shulman, who joins me now. R.J.
Hey, Peter B., how you doing this week?
Well, I'm doing okay. It's topsy-turvy. I'm a lot poorer than I was last week, but, you know, we just shuffle along and hope for the best. Have the financial crunches affected you in any way? Did they take away your Maserati?
That was taken away a long time ago, but it's taken away my 1971 Pinto.
Oh, really?
Which I was still paying on.
Uh-huh. You're still paying on a 71 Pinto?
Times are tough, Peter B.
Wow. That's quite a story. Well, let's get right to it, because at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, again, just a few minutes before the VP debate, you've got the stunning story that I haven't seen anywhere else. There's going to be a change in the lineup tonight. Tell us.
Yeah, it's a last-minute change, and it's going to be quite shocking. But what's happened is there's been so much crying and whining on the side of the right, the McCain camp, that Sarah Palin is being treated unfairly, that the rules have changed, and Joe Biden is going to be replaced with a caribou.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, that's right. Sarah Palin will be debating a caribou.
I see. And does this caribou speak, or do they have a ventriloquist who throws a voice to it? Exactly how's this going to work?
I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of speaking on the part of the caribou. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But that is going to be her opponent, because they felt that this would level the playing field and she would have a chance to do well in the debate.
Wow. And the whole McCain team feels that these debates are unfair, it's the media's fault, and your next story is that Obama is being blamed by McCain because he shamed him into actually debating last Friday?
Yeah. What's happened is McCain has come out and blamed Obama for the failure of the economic bailout package to pass through the House. And he was saying that had he not been distracted by this debate last Friday, he could have gone in and solved the problem, and we would, you know, the financial crisis would be over.
I see. Well, you know, McCain went to Washington, and he sat in his office. He went and took a nap at the White House when Obama and other people were there. It's kind of hard to square that with this whining now that it's Obama's fault.
Well, you know, he was practicing to be president, taking naps at the White House. We all know that Reagan has done that, and the few times that Bush is actually there, we understand he takes naps at 12. So he was preparing himself to be more presidential.
Yeah. And John Boehner, and my producer who was born in Germany, says the correct pronunciation would be Boehner.
Yeah, that is right. That's right.
But he, of course, is pointing the finger at Nancy Pelosi. It's all her fault.
Yeah, he said, quote, she said some bad words about us, so we took our votes and went home. If she doesn't apologize to us, we'll hold our breath until we turn blue, well, actually red, as we are Republicans.
All right, and what's the latest from L. Rushbo? Rush Limbaugh?
He has officially declared that the 60s are dead, that there's no love anymore, no peace, and the only dope, unfortunately for him, is his OxyContin, but that's it. So the 60s are done and finished. Kumbaya is history.
Really? And does this mean that his whole war against liberalism is going to be a thing of the past?
Well, I think he still has a few things that he wants to destroy that Roosevelt came up with, but he's pretty much done. I'm not sure what he's going to do next.
Wow. All right. Well, RJ, thank you for your work. We'll be watching that caribou coming up shortly in the vice presidential debate. That's a real stunning story. You deserve the scoop on that.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy the debate as well. Maybe the people who don't have power will be the lucky ones.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, RJ. Tom Seaborn's calling in from KGOE in Eureka. Hi, Tom. Oh, he put the phone down. Well, he was there.
Are we there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong pot up there. My fault, Tom. That, you are there. We have you.
Good. I'm not in Eureka, though. I'm up in McKinleyville. Across from the Kmart. I just pulled into get some beer and watch the debate at my boss's house. But
yeah.
I want to tell you, update people, last night somebody cut a fiber optic cable up here, and we only have one, so it shut down all the internet and stuff from Cox Cable, evidently, north of Arcata, through McKinleyville, here where I'm at, all the way to Trinidad.
Oh.
And so we had no television all last night, and then for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we had it on our other station there, plug. But we did today have a series of little power bumps this morning at the station, and it took out our premier satellite receiver.
Oh.
So KGOE listeners got to hear Ed Schultz today, and they're going to get to hear him again tomorrow.
You mean you can't get Dr. Laura?
No Dr. Laura today or tomorrow, man.
Oh!
Yeah, isn't it interesting? And we've got a lot of people called in and said they loved Ed Schultz, so I don't know how that's going to play.
Oh, well, maybe this kind of glitch and blip can improve your lineup a little bit. I have to tell you, Tom, I have bitten my lip, and all of the years that you've been kind enough to run my show on KGOE, I don't think I've ever said anything nasty about Dr. Laura.
No, you've done a good job. Considering you have to follow her every day, you know, you've done a great job. She's got her days, you know. But I don't know. I think a lot of the listeners would really like to stay progressive all through the day part. So.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll see what happens. And you forgot to get back to me with some information that we were going to let our listeners know about you.
Yeah, I will. It's on my list. I've had a busy week, but I will take care of that, and we'll get that out to you in the next few days.
All right, sir. Well, you do a great job, and we appreciate having you here on KGOE, and maybe we'll have something better for you to follow one day.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Peter B.
Tom Seaborn over at KGOE in Eureka. Appreciate the call, and now we understand what the outage is up there. Not so much an electricity failure, but a problem with the cable system and television transmissions. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. I've got room for just one, and he's on the line. And then we're going to talk to Gary Chu and get a film review of Bill Maher's new documentary, Religious. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your final KRXA 540 traffic report on Thursday, October 2nd. Sorry about the problem in the last break where we replayed an old traffic report. Try hard to avoid those kind of technical problems. We've got no problems, though, on the roads. Everything looks great out there. You all are behaving yourselves. Plenty of time to get home to watch the big debate between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin. And you don't have to worry about missing the Scott Dick show tonight. That's right, no new Dick. He'll be replaying a show from last week. So if you caught it last week, you can enjoy the debate without guilt. We return you now to the closing minutes of the Peter B. Collins Show, only on AM 5.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And a few years back, I issued my first and only decree as head of the household. In my house, no conversation can start with, "Hey, did you hear what Dr. Laura said today?" You go wash your mouth out with soap. And rounding out the free speech zone today, we go to Big Sur once again on the beautiful California coastline. Bill's there. Hi, Bill.
Hi. How are you doing, Peter?
Doing fine.
Good. It's
don't see any rain in the forecast at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, first of all, in my house, rule number one is, yes, dear, you're right. Okay? That is rule number one. Okay? But on to other things, more serious things. You know, I'm not into conspiracies that much, but I can't help but think that Sarah Palin is a choice of the Republican Party for the running mate. To me, personally, smacks of an intentional attempt to fail in this upcoming election. The last thing to me, the last thing in the world the Republicans want to do is be associated with the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and everything else for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Democrats have it. They have the Congress, they got the House, they got the Senate. Let them deal with this, and they will be the bad guys for the next 4 years. And then in 4 years, the Republicans, I don't know who they could possibly run,
mm-hmm.
but would then make a serious attempt at regaining the White House.
Well, that's possible, and people have articulated the same kind of theory about Hillary Clinton, that she and Bill want Barack to lose so that she can run in 2012. My sense is that these people are so interested in power, and I'm speaking now primarily about the Republicans, that they don't really want to lose this. McCain certainly gambled on Palin, and we'll find out over the next evening here just how bad that bet was. But I think that the more likely scenario here, if there is a Republican game, is to try to get close enough so they can steal it. And when we talk to Brad Friedman on tomorrow's program, we're going to have John Fund, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, who believes that voter fraud is prevalent in the country. That's a crock. But what we've seen is there are interesting things surfacing from Republican operatives, including a guy named Mike Connell. Watch his name. He is the IT specialist for the Bush family who's been hired to run websites for the McCain campaign. And one of his former colleagues has turned on him and gone public. His name's Mike Spoonamore. And if you go to YouTube and just Google the name Spoonamore, there's a whole series of videos that this guy did where he claims that the die is already cast. The Republicans have a plan to win this election by 52.3% of the vote and three electoral college votes. And they have the systems wired in critical states to manipulate the vote to deliver that. That, to me, is a more worrisome conspiracy theory. Because given what they did in 2000 and 2004, I'd say the Republicans really know how to manipulate elections. I hope they don't do it again. But as we talk about regularly with Brad, we see the Democrats mostly asleep at that wheel. My favorite tunes about the God thing. Joan Osborne and What If God Was One of Us. Well, Gary Chu joins us, the official Peter B. Collins Show movie reviewer, and he's had a chance to see Bill Maher's new documentary called Religulous. Welcome, Gary.
Me?
How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Pretty good movie. Pretty funny, pretty devastatingly funny in places, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Best way to begin on this movie, Bill, is to say that many years ago, you remember when The Last Temptation of Christ came out, the Scorsese film?
Sure.
I was standing in line in a southern city awaiting to buy my ticket to see this film, and there were several young people on the sidewalk who were demonstrating outside against the content of the film. And as I stood there and waited for my ticket, I got to thinking with some friends of mine that, you know, this is a pretty good deal. Actually, we're buying tickets to see a movie we want and something we want to find out more about, and these guys are complaining about it. So we're all sort of expressing ourselves and the way Americans should. So that's sort of the way I went to see this movie,
mm-hmm.
which was directed by Larry Charles. You may remember him as being the guy who directed the Borat film, if you happen to catch Borat.
Oh, I did. I love that.
I did, too. I laughed harder in it than I did in The Religulous, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Some of the things that happen in this movie by Bill Maher of HBO, as you probably know, Bill has a nice little chat with evangelical roadside worshiping truckers who stop along the way at a freeway to worship, and he talks with them, and they pray for him, and it's really a nice scene.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some argument, and one of the guys stalks out when he finds out what Bill's trying to say. Also, he talks with liberal Catholic priests outside the Vatican, which is kind of a hoot,
yeah.
Because the Catholic liberal Catholic priests didn't, they sort of were on Bill's side, but not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then one of the best things in Religulous is a Jesus actor at the Orlando, Florida Christian theme park, whatever it is,
uh-huh.
Where they show the actual clips of the scene where Jesus is going to Golgotha, and he has all the stage blood all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And the tourists who have come to see this in the park are all applauding. It's like they're at a Mel Gibson movie or something.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Huh. Well,
another good one is the ex-Jew for Jesus has a high-end retail Christian gift shop. And Mar really gives this guy a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
A ministry that prays away gayness for homosexuals is also on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Faithful Islamic and Jewish persuasion folks talking about their religions in certain kinds of ways, which is quite interesting. One of the really funny things in the film is Bill Maher's now, unfortunately, deceased mom, she died not too long after the documentary was shot, almost steals a couple of scenes from her own son because she's this old, sardonic, plain-talking Jewish lady. And really, 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 really funny.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill basically just play kind of a neutral interrogator and let people hang themselves, or is he more provocative in his interaction with people and, basically delivering his atheist message?
Well, he says forthrightly in the film, he says, "I don't know." He says that to the camera, meaning he's not really calling himself an atheist in this film.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling himself an agnostic, but I would say he leans more toward being atheism. But he does say, "I just don't know." He definitely is Bill Maher, Peter B. He just carves the people up something seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And if you agree with Bill Maher and you're into Bill Maher, you'll roll the aisles. If you're a very serious fundamentalist Christian, you probably will get a little bit on the PO'd side.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what it boils down to. But the end of the film, though, actually is interesting because it's not funny. Bill gives his own little homily, his own little sermon,
yeah,
about the strong possibility of the world being destroyed by nuclear war sparked by religious fundamentalistic attitudes among different religions.
Wow.
And that's the way he leaves it. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a dark ending, but then you see, explosions and all this. And there are a lot of funny intercuts earlier in the film of the famous people playing famous religious roles.
Like Gary Chu, thank you very much. Religulous opens this weekend.
Bye.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis. And as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's Fit and Get Rich.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Just getting underway in St. Louis, the 90-minute debate between the candidates for vice president. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss is there.
Debates between running mates have generally been campaign sideshows, but not tonight. There's huge interest because of Sarah Palin. She energized John McCain's campaign, but now polls show voters are getting nervous about whether she's qualified to be vice president. Expectations for her, given her recent interviews, are pretty low, which makes her job easier in some ways tonight. For Joe Biden, there are risks, too, especially coming on too strong. For both, the top priority these days in any political debate, don't make a mistake. Bob Fuss, CBS News, St. Louis.
One aide to John McCain says Michigan is off the list of states they hope to capture. They're pulling ads and sending staff members elsewhere after concluding that Barack Obama has a lock on Michigan and its 17 electoral votes. McCain's concentrating now on the swing states of Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Florida. Obama hopes to take Virginia, North Carolina, and Colorado from the Republicans. It's not certain yet, but the House is expected to vote tomorrow on the bill passed by the Senate to stabilize the credit markets. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports the stakes are very high.
With the stock market losing another 348 points and with credit at a standstill, the House of Representatives faces a decision of a lifetime. Pass or don't pass the Senate's huge new bailout bill. The president today emphatically demanded action.
People understand that the House of Representatives needs to pass this piece of legislation.
Basically, the Senate took the $700 billion package that failed Monday, increased FDIC deposit protection up to $250,000, but then added almost every popular tax break circulating on Capitol Hill.
13 months after adventurer Steve Fawcett disappeared, the wreckage of his plane has been found near Mammoth Lakes, California. Mark Rosenker of the National Transportation Safety Board says the aircraft crashed and burned.
Clearly, when you go into the debris field, you truly understand the tragedy of this accident.
He says a small amount of human remains have been found. In Las Vegas, closing arguments by the